So it was good to be able to kind of get it out in a song.
The whole, you know, origin of where we're all coming from.
I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
And welcome to the premiere episode of Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles. Why are we doing a show about the music of the solo Beatles? Well, because there really isn't one. Now, we all know that not only were these four individuals part of the most successful group of all time, they also had the most successful solo careers of any individuals that ever came from a group. Now, this show will celebrate the music, the musicians, and the events of more than 100 albums. Now, before we get more into the show, let me introduce myself and my co-hosts. I am Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my show, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Now, just because I do a show on Paul McCartney doesn't mean I don't love the music of John, George, and Ringo, because I do. And this show is a dream come true because not only do I get to talk about the music that I love so much, I get to do it with three people that I respect very much. First up, she is the queen of all Beatles media. She is the author of Songs We Were Singing, a guided tour through best lesser-known Beatles tracks, and Michael Jackson, FAQ. She also has her column, Deep Beatles for Something Else Reviews. She is no devil woman. She is Dr. Kit O'Toole.
Hello, everybody, and thank you. That was quite an introduction, Tom. Thank you.
Hi, Kit. How are you?
I'm great, and just so excited to be doing this with you and all the guys.
Same here. Next up, well, he's a special lad. He has, a lot of books. I mean, he's written Beatle books and Beatles-related books, such as the Beatles Encyclopedia, as well as the two-volume set, George Martin bio. So he is also the Dean of Wayne D. McMurray School of Humanities and Social Sciences at Mammoth University. And his name isn't Legs, it's Kenneth Womack.
Greetings, everybody. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. This is going to be a fun event.
How you doing, Ken?
Great to see you, Tom.
Thank you. Last but not least, he has just celebrated his 36th anniversary of his radio show called Every Little Thing. And let me tell you, when I say he plays Every Little Thing, he does. He's also the co-host of one of my favorite Beatles podcasts called Things We Said Today. And he is the man, the one and only Ken Michaels.
Tom. And hi, guys, Ken and Kit. Great to be here. Entering the video world.
Living in the video world. That's right.
That is right. Well, it's great to be here with you three. Kit, why don't you tell us why it is that you're here and why you love the music of the solo Beatles so much?
Well, you know, really, it's that I kind of grew up, and you know, some of you will probably agree with me, I grew up with the solo Beatles as much as I did, you know, learning about the Beatles themselves. I mean, I listened to them, you know, right alongside each other. And Pipes of Peace was my first Paul McCartney album, and I bought that through Michael Jackson, because, of course, Say, Say, Say was the big hit in 1983. And because of that, I you know, thought, okay, I'll buy this album. Oh, this Paul McCartney guy, you know, this album's okay. So then I got into the Beatles, and once I got into the Beatles in about eighth grade, then I started looking at the solo catalog, and I was just amazed at all of the great material there is to find there. And so it has a lot of, you know, I have a lot of affection for it because, as I said, I grew up with the catalog even more than, of course, the Beatles.
Mm. Very cool. Dr. Ken Womack, please tell us your story.
Bet you. I love the Beatles solo years for really the same reason that I adore what they did together as a working unit, and that is the incredible evolution and artistry we see when you follow their individual careers, which have very different but no less exciting trajectories. And so it's that same kind of evolving aesthetic that continues to attract me to what they do.
Oh, very nice. Ken Michaels, your turn.
Well, I grew up as a little kid listening to the Beatles in the 60s. And then when the solo career started, I really enjoyed it. And I grew to love all four of them. They all put out tremendous catalogs on their own. And I've always said that the Beatles had three of the greatest songwriters of all time. And they continued, those same three songwriters, to put out great material on their own. And so did Ringo, who developed into a very good songwriter, too. And like you said, Tom, they had the most successful solo careers of any band that had the individuals when they continued than any other band in the history of music, which I think is sometimes swept under the carpet these days. And I think that the solo catalog is so worthy to explore, which is why I'm so excited about doing the show with you guys.
Cool. Yeah, well, me, just like Kit, you know, I grew up in the 80s watching the early MTV years and discovering the music of Paul McCartney as well. And in that discovery and, you know, showing that how much I like it to my uncle, who was, you know, my influence of being a Beatle maniac, he introduced me to the world of the Beatles. And after that, then once the George Harrison Cloud Nine album came out and the Traveling Wilburys, and then we started getting into I would say Off the Ground and Flowers in the Dirt, then that I, you know, all that introduction to that solo stuff, I mean, it, to me, the theme of the Beatles continued with, you know, onto the solo years with the, you know, with the love and, you know, and the heartbreak and it just, it really touched me at a young age, and that is why I just love to continue to listen to the music and learn about it. And that's why I'm excited to be here, because I want to learn as much about it as I can.
Very
so
cool.
With that, Ken Michaels, you know, you're a very big, you know, you always introduce the news every week on your radio show. So why don't you talk about what's happening in the solo Beatle world at the moment?
Okay, well, we should say that this particular show, we're mainly going to be talking about Paul's new album. But before we do that, I thought I'd mention just a few other things. My God, there's so much news to get to. You couldn't possibly cover all of it. But on the same day that Paul's new album, Egypt Station, came out, in New York City, there was a ceremony to unveil the brand new John Lennon Forever stamp. And it took place at the Nuremberg Bandshell in Central Park. And Tom is holding up the John Lennon Forever stamps right there. You could also turn it over so you could see the other side, which is that.
Oh,
familiar.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That was on the poster for Imagine. But I love the way if you turn around again, it looks like a record on top. I love that.
Right, yeah.
Design.
Yeah,
it's in the shape of a 45.
Nice. Yeah, very nice. So at the ceremony, Yoko was there, as well as Sean and Bob Gruen and Dennis Elsis, who was the master of ceremonies. And so, it was a big event right there. And also, speaking of John Lennon, this is something really interesting. The John Lennon Educational Tour Bus, which is now going on its 21st year, will have what they call their Come Together event. This is their fifth year in residency in New York City. And this time it's going to take place at Town Hall. And they have a theme of activism, since John and Yoko were so known for their political activism. And they're staging a bed-in. And they're going to have Yoko there.
Wow.
With Ringo. And, of course, who was the perfect companion to have with Yoko and Ringo but Jeff Bridges? He's just an asshole right there.
Of course.
And the photographer Henry Diltz and Mayor Bill de Blasio. And it will take place this Thursday, which is September the 13th at 12 noon. That's Eastern Standard Time. And you're supposed to be able to stream this live on the Beatles Facebook page.
Wow.
So if you can't make it there in New York City, watch it on Facebook. Really nice. Also, one other thing. Ringo has contributed a new song. It's a new recording for a Roger Miller tribute. We all know Roger Miller for his classic songs, especially in the 60s, on the country field, which also crossed over to the pop field, like King of the Road and Dang Me. And there's a brand new double CD out, which is called King of the Road, a tribute to Roger Miller. And Ringo has recorded one of Roger's songs, which is called Hey, Would You Hold It Down? Which Roger recorded back in 1979. It was on one of his albums called Making a Name for Myself. And I have heard this recording. Have you guys heard it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you all think of it?
I loved it.
You know, it. I mean, it fits his canon. I like the humor of it. Kind of reminds me of, you know, stuff like a No-No song. I mean, I really like the lyrics, and obviously the music really fits well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it when Ringo goes into his country mode, because, you know, he has such affection for the music, and, you know, and it's so clear in his delivery. And as you said, Tom, the humor fits him perfectly, you know, fits his personality perfectly. I think the song suits his range. In fact, he sings a little bit more than Roger Miller did in the original, which is kind of interesting. And the mariachi band, what a great touch.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
absolutely. And I would even argue that it eclipses the original, and it has that great carefree kind of nuance that Ringo brings to a song. It was a real treat.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Ringo has a penchant for country music, and a lot of people point to his country album, Buku's of Blues, as one of his strongest in his solo career. And if you follow all of Ringo's solo albums, every now and then he'll do a country song in there. And you sometimes wish, God, I wish he'd do another country album, because he sounds so natural doing it. But yeah, it's just a nice little contribution that Ringo made.
Cool. Well, thank you, Ken. And like you said earlier, we are going to talk about Paul McCartney on this episode, and we are going to be discussing the brand new. The 5-year wait is over, everybody, and here's Egypt Station. Cool. I'm still not 100%, you know, digging the accordion style CD case, but I'll get over it. This is the Target edition with the two extra tracks,
and the band.
Yes, well, mine already broke, so.
Oh, then I have that to look forward to. Awesome.
Right. Well, I'll just have to glue it back together. But anyways, like I said, it's been a 5-year wait. Ken Womack, I mean, I haven't seen you say anything. I haven't seen you post anything. I'm really curious to hear your initial thoughts. I mean, when did you first listen to it? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I heard this one in real time as the album was released. And obviously hearing the advanced tracks like everybody else. I was pleasantly surprised. It reminds me very much of, in terms of the kind of sonic ambiance of Chaos and Creation. At some points, and I think this is really the mark of a good record. At some point, it had me reaching back into Paul's catalog.
Right.
I played tracks from Tug of War, where I was feeling some connectivity with some of the kind of symphonic suite work he was doing. So I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, with a new Beatles solo album in particular, I find myself needing multiple listens to decide what kind of experience I'm having, particularly when you're talking about singularly among all of the ex-Beatles, Paul has such a massive corpus. I like to go into thinking about it and situating all of those songs inside a larger mass of songs that, of course, includes many, many classics. And these are in the post-Beatle years alone. So I've been really surprised with it. I do feel that the songs that are not the singles eclipse what the teasers were in terms of quality. I found them to be more exciting and stimulating.
What were your feelings about the track I Don't Know opening the album? I mean, I know, you know, Station One is really the opener, but the first song we get is I Don't Know. I mean, do you think it sets the proper tone for the album?
Oh, absolutely. And it there's an edginess to it, too. There's a real kind of honesty that's involved in that song. And in fact, of the three, I suppose, advanced tracks, I think it's the best by a good margin. And of course, he's working themes he's worked before, but you can't help thinking that here he is working them and he's 76, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, what's the great line from Two of Us? You know, there are more behind him, unless he's a superhuman, which he may very well be, than there are lying out on the road ahead. So I found that to be pretty powerful and a good choice.
Okay. Ken Michaels, you know, it's been a while since we've seen you on or heard you on Things We Said Today. And, you know, I know you guys are, you know, working on bringing that back. So I always look forward to hearing your opinions on whenever a new album comes out. And if this is no exception. So, let's hear your initial thoughts.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say that towards the end of this show, I will have a big announcement about Things We Said Today. Okay. So for all of our listeners, you know,
stay tuned, everybody.
Yes. Okay. Well, the first three songs that I was exposed to, I loved all of them. Although I Don't Know took the longest for me to really like. I just didn't find it that gripping. But once I fell in love with it, boy, did I ever fall in love with it. It reminds me in many ways. I mean, Paul has done a lot of piano ballads throughout his solo career. But in particular, and it's funny, Ken, you mentioned Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. There are certain piano ballads either on the album or bonus tracks, like This Loving Game, which is a favorite of mine, as well as This Never Happened Before, where, you know, it called to attention those songs that kind of reminded me of that. But I love the sparseness of the piano in the very beginning and how it comes back later on. And I actually love the sound of Paul's voice, even though it's aging. I think sometimes that voice adds a lot of character. And I just find that that song is really powerful. But I do think it's kind of strange to open any album with a ballad, although he has done that with, say, London Town, for example. Mm. And Come On to Me, I loved instantly. So edgy, so catchy. If you don't know that, if you don't get that song in one listen, there's a problem, I think. And I also liked Fuh You, although I have a feeling we may have differing opinions on that one on the show. But I would like to say, and this is coming from someone who's liked most of everything Paul's done in his solo career, I sure am glad I didn't review this album after one listen, because I wasn't that impressed after the first listen. This album takes a while to grow on you. And by the time it was the fourth listen, I was really starting to dig it. And now I've listened to it about 8 or 9 times, and wow. I really, really like the album. But I also feel, and this is how I've been for a long time, I think it's really wrong to judge an album so quickly after just a couple of days of its release. You need time to really listen to it a lot and then distance yourself from it for maybe a week or so and then go back to it. And then you'll have a more accurate assessment of what you think of the album. But I really, at this moment, I'm very impressed with what I've heard, especially in the production and the variety of the songs. Although Paul is the king of variety. There's so many different styles of music on this album. And even the songs that I didn't take to initially, that were a slow burn, I'm catching up to them, you know? Okay. Like back in Brazil, for example, which is probably was my least favorite in the beginning. Now I'm starting to like. That's how it is when you listen to these albums over and over again. You'll find that there are songs that you like instantly and songs that take a while to grow on you. This album's no different, but I'm very impressed so far.
Cool. Well, you had mentioned about his voice, you know, he is 76. You know, listening to this album a couple times, I haven't got to spend as much time as with it as much as I would like to. But Ken, I wanted to ask you, did you notice maybe the music coming up on certain tracks where his vocals might not have been as strong?
Which Ken?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken Michaels. I was talking to you. sorry about that.
Yeah, but I think he's found a way to cover it up very well. You know, right, in the show, right. Things we said today, by the way, when I was talking to Alan Cozen about it, and I agree, I think he's writing to suit his vocal range now. There are times when he won't hold on to a note for long, and then he'll surprise you and have screaming vocals on certain songs, and it's really strong. So, you know, and then you'll notice there are certain songs like Confidant, which is pretty much in a mid-range. It's not a challenging song to sing, and it suits him just well. And he knows how to write those songs to fit his vocal range. Kind of like what the Beatles did for Ringo, you know?
Yeah. Kit, your turn.
All right. I just put this comment up here because I think it's a very interesting point that a viewer says that it's kind of a vinyl experience, too, that, you know, the listening to it on vinyl may be a different kind of, you know, provide a whole different kind of experience than listening to it on CD. So, you know, that's an interesting point. I hadn't really, you know, thought about that. And I don't have the vinyl yet, so I'll have to do that and see if, you know, makes a difference. So thanks for the comment. You know, this is definitely, as Ken M just said, definitely, you know, it takes, you know, multiple listings, but I'll tell you, Ken W, it's really, I was, when you made some of your points, I thought, oh my gosh, you read my mind, because when you said Tug of War, there were some moments on this album that reminded me of Tug of War. I mean, I, you know, even, you know, wrote some notes from the very beginning, you know, of the kind of the ambiance, you know, the you know, entering the station, just like on Tug of War, they had the orchestra warming up, you know, trying to kind of ease you into the whole album. And, you know, I even thought, not in sound, but thematically, Who Cares, which is one of my favorites. I instantly like that song. And, you know, but thematically, it reminded me a bit of Somebody Who Cares, you know, of, you know, saying it's going to be all right. You know, I know how you feel, you know, I care. And so there were some moments like that where I thought, wow. But there were other moments where I thought some of the songs could have ended up like Happy With You on Flaming Pie. There were others that sounded like Chaos and Creation. I mean, it was really interesting. You know, you could hear his development from the last 20 years or so on this album. And yeah, I mean, not every single track connected with me. You know, as we get into it a little bit more, there are some tracks that I, you know, still reserving judgment on, shall we say. But there were some, you know, like Who Cares and Caesar Rock. I can't tell you how many times I've cranked that in my car. I love it. I can't wait to hear. I hope he plays it live. I think that would be awesome live. I mean, just I can see the audience responding to it, you know. It just had some nice moments on there. The bonus tracks were, you know, certainly interesting. I'm sure we'll get to those later. But overall, I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I think, you know, it really shows though how he's, you know, at 76, continuing to develop, to grow, to try new sounds, and you have to give him credit for that.
Right. So, I mean, like you said, you know, I love when my favorite musicians, they try something new. They want to continue growing as musicians, you know, Kit. So obviously, you know, the song Fuh You, you know, August 15th, you know, will be a day I remember. I mean, so many people were bashing that song and then coming back the next day and then the third day after saying, oh, I get it now. It wasn't that bad. I mean, could you see, I mean, you being, you know, an R&B, you know, and a pop fan, I mean, could you see this song, you know, connecting with the youth of today?
You know, and that's a very good question. I'll be interested to hear what others think. I, you know, musically, I like Fuh You. You know, I love, and by the way, the production in general, I forgot to mention earlier, great production I think it's, you know, a nice full sound, bringing out his, you know, the bass, and, you know, so that's great. So Fall You is no exception, and I know that's the one he did with Ryan Tedder. And, you know, musically it's great. Lyrics, and I'm not saying this because I'm a prude, but the lyrics got in the way for me. I think it could have been a bit of a bigger hit had the lyrics been a bit different. And as I said, not because I'm, you know, being prudish over the, you know, I get it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge stuff, that's fine. But, you know, I was thinking, maybe he was thinking of that, of CeeLo, you know, when he had that hit years ago, Forget You. Of course, that wasn't really the title. But, I'm not convinced, but I'll be interested, you know, if anybody's viewing this or listening to this who's a tad younger than we are, I'd love to hear what you think. You know, do you respond to this? One of my Facebook friends said that his grandson said to him, it was, quotes, straight fire. So, you know, maybe it will connect.
What does that mean, Kit?
I'm assuming that means, like, you know, it's lit, it's cool, it's hot, you know, that kind of thing. That's my best guess. Okay. The comments, hey, if anyone knows what that means, you know, write it.
Great.
Right. Well, you know, I pre-ordered the album on Amazon. So with that, you get the digital version, but I got it at 9 p.m. Thursday night. So I kind of got to listen to it the day before because, you know, it officially came out midnight Eastern time. So, you know, I'm here at 9 o'clock listening to it. And first listen, I can tell you, I was going to bed a happy man. I mean, it was production wise, Kit, like you said, I mean, it was very, I mean, my foot was stomping. I mean, I was excited. This is probably one of the better produced albums. And I think this album benefits from having mainly one producer. I know Tedder did a couple of the tracks as well, but I think this really focused the album a little bit more, maybe from, you know, from albums in the past. But yeah. I gotta say, you know, having waited five years for this, my expectations were pretty high. And I gotta say, you know, so I'm gonna use a boxing analogy, you know, pound for pound, I think production wise, this album could be, the, you know, just in my opinion, the best since Flaming Pie. I really love the production on this album a lot. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean I think the lyrics are all that great. I mean, there are a lot of really good lyrics on this album. The vocals, I think, are a little stronger than new. And I know purposely he sang, or at least the song Early Days was purposely not changed because they wanted to have that effect of the, you know, the older, you know, statesman looking back on life. But I'm starting to like those songs that he does like that, kind of like a, you know, a Hand in Hand, or not Hand in Hand, I'm sorry, Happy With You, which was probably the first song that I really connected with. And that song, Kit, like you said, Who Cares, with the analogy of Someone Who Cares. It, you know, I like to call it the Pick Me Up trilogy. I think this is part of that with Somebody Who Cares and Too Much Rain, where he's talking with the, you know, with the audience and saying, hey, you know, it's going to be okay in the long run. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be there for you. And, you know, I really appreciate that song. You know, Confidant, I think, is a great, you know, acoustic bit. I like the thought of him singing to his guitar. And I don't know, I want to ask you guys a question. The song, I think it's Do It Now. Did anybody feel like they were listening to Cheese and Onions at the beginning and end of that song?
No.
Because it ends with that sudden, that short piano chord. I mean, is it a chord, or is that what it's called? I mean, I don't know how 100% sure, but it's, you know, ends with that short piano, like, because you know how, you know, A Day in the Life ends with that long, you know, piano bit, but then that one ends just with that short don't, just like Cheese and Onions did. And I kind of have that beginning when Paul's singing, he's kind of has that same Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds type feel that, like the beginning of Cheese and Onions did, but that's just me, that's just what I heard while I was
I love Cheese and Onions. That's a great
right.
And food, quite frankly.
I'm sure Neil Innes will be very happy to hear you say this, Tom.
Yeah. But anyways, but the few things that didn't work for me, you know, I know Ken Womack, you said that you did appreciate, you know, I don't know, opening being the first, you know, real song to open the album. I kind of liked the more, I liked the thought of maybe, you know, Come On to Me opening the album. I think an album opening with a little bit more of a rocker, I think it helps the album, but that's just my opinion. People Want Peace. I think we all could agree that we all want peace, but for some reason, this song just doesn't work for me. And then the one thing about, you know, despite the repeat warnings, you know, I want to, you know, why take that risk? I mean, you know, Republicans are fans of Paul McCartney too. Why take that alienating, you know, I mean, if this is the song that, you know, he's the so-called that he wrote about Trump, why take that chance of, you know, alienating a group of fans, you know? So, but it's a great track. I love it to death.
Well, I think he was trying, you know, and you guys, you know, I'll be curious to hear what you think. I mean, you know, I think he's trying to stay current. I mean, obviously, that's not the first protest song he's written. I mean, you know, Big Boys Bickering, that's been coming up the past week, everyone's talking about, which was great. I like that one a lot. And, you know, for me, the song went on a little too long, just for my taste. I mean, I loved some of the lines in it, though, you know, basically saying lock him up. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was pulling no punches, that's for sure. But yeah, other than the fact that it was a little long, I think he just, you know, wants to show that he's, you know, that he's current. But I don't know, what did you guys, what was your reaction?
Yeah, sure. I think it's in many ways the best song on the record. It reminds me very much, and in fact, this was one of the ones, you mentioned Somebody Who Cares earlier. This is another one that sent me to Tug of War to listen to the Pounders. about 80s economic woes and 80s economic issues, which was a more subtle song, certainly, than Despite Repeated Warnings. He's obviously not the first to have some kind of political critique. During our vexed ideological times, I think of Depeche Mode with their song "Going Backwards." There isn't a lot of subtlety right now in terms of political critique. I did like the way, though, that not to differ with the queen of all media, but I did. I don't do lightly, if you know.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, except for Mr. Moonlight, but. In this case, I think having those long interludes was valuable in sort of illustrating the kind of tensions he wanted to show. Now, what is odd, and I think we have to live with this, and maybe we always have had to live with this with a Paul McCartney record, they are very challenging in the sense that you can have this almost novelty song like "The You," and then you have this other song, which is, you know, as you said, pulling no punches, a kind of heavy duty critique. So, and maybe that's what the other Ken was suggesting by talking about all the different kinds of styles we're experiencing here. But that's certainly how it hit me. But I thought it was a pretty weighty song. You know, Tom, you're right. It's risky. But, you know, this is a guy who threw himself into studying art and some cultural and moral philosophy in, what, 1965, 66?
Right.
I think he's earned, you know, the position of being a spokesman artist in that way.
Right.
I agree with everything you guys have said. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Another song that really I think is one of the top five tracks on here too is a song called Dominoes, which if you listen to his mini commentaries, you know, he talks about how, you know, this is more of a personal song for him. And, you know, listening to the lyrics, you know, you might seem to think that it could be about the Beatle years, or it could be, you know, the arguments that they had in the solo years. You know, I do like the lyrics a lot. I do, especially the one, you know, and all the telephones are constantly calling, you know, imploring us to come out and play. You know, I kind of feel like that could be like a, you know, argument about touring during the Beatle years, or all the constant you know, talk about reuniting and you know, in the '70s. So, and that's another one that really, you know, sparked my interest. And, you know, and that Caesar Rock Kit. Yeah. I mean, that's another one of those tracks, like, you know, you know, so many rockers and Paul, you know, Junior's Farm, you know, that as soon as I'm in the car and that was on, the next thing I know, I'm doing 90 miles an hour, you know, and it's just.
Yeah, it has that effect. And I also, it had a little touch of Led Zeppelin there to me. I mean, toward the end, just a little bit, which Paul has flirted with that before with even, and yes, this is, you know, I wouldn't say this is one of his finest compositions, but I liked Nod Your Head for what it was, which was just a fun, you know, rocker. But that was, you know, Led Zeppelin influenced as well, and so this isn't his first flirtation with that, but I love that aspect of it, and his vocal on that I mean that growl he gets. I never really heard him quite get that sound before. Maybe that's due to his, as we were all saying, you know, the change in his voice, but it was effective.
Yeah, he still has a great rock and roll voice, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and you know, that final lyric, you know, she's got matching teeth. I mean, that's, I think, you know, harkens back to, I got blisters on my fingers, you know, so it's, it was a nice added touch.
Yeah. That was like a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what he said in the little mini commentaries. You're right. But it doesn't sound like Paul. I mean, in that little mini commentary, he says that, you know, he thinks it was him that said that, but it doesn't sound like him at all. But, you know, getting back to, you know, the variety of this album, I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, I love about Paul McCartney is his variety and his versatility. And this is everything, just about everything that I love in a Paul McCartney record is all the variety on this. So I look forward to listening to this album, you know, more and more in the future.
Can I comment on Caesar Rock for a second?
Sure.
Please. Yes. Yes.
When I hear that song, and I heard Paul talk about it, it was very much something very spontaneous that they did in the studio. So that kind of calls to mind the same kind of an approach that he would do, say, with the Firemen, with Electric Arguments, which really was creating one song at a time, a song a day, and making it up from scratch. So I get the feeling that's what that was. And throughout Paul's solo career, he's done songs like that. And some people like that spontaneity. They find it kind of fresh, you know. And I also love, one of the things I like about this album is that there's a lot of twists and turns here. There are some odd introductions to songs. And in particular, Caesar Rock starts off with this solid drum beat, and then it changes tempo altogether. Only a few seconds into the song. It's like, that's really weird. And he'll do that on this album, like Who Cares? Who Cares starts off with this long, droning note, kind of like It's All Too Much. And and even the end of the song is like that. But weird introductions, and I like that, you know?
Right. Yeah, that long, that feedback that we heard on Who Cares, it reminded me of, if you're a Chicago fan, if you have the first album, it's called Freeform Guitar by Terry Kath, and it kind of reminded me of that, and I thought it was very cool. So, was there any other tracks that stood out to any of you? Kit, what about you?
Well, I really liked... And we've touched on this a little bit earlier, but I just wanted to make a point. Happy With You. You know, there are some people who think, well, it's not in the category, you know, for a song for Nancy. It's not Maybe I'm Amazed. Well, no, it isn't. But what I think is clever is that, yes, I mean, clearly it refers to her. But it also refers to life in general, you know, him, I mean, kind of confessional. I used to lie to my doctor. I mean, I thought, wow, I never thought I'd hear Paul McCartney say that in a song.
But he doesn't let us into his life very much.
Exactly. No. And this was a peek at it, you know, and I loved the different things. Now that because he's not, smoking weed like he was and all that, and he's cleaned up his act. He can now appreciate things, like coming out of a fog. That's what I'm looking for. And not that, he wasn't enjoying life before, but clearly a new way. And so that's what I love about the song. And it's a beautiful song too, but it's not just a love song for Nancy. You know, it's sort of a love song in general for life. So, yes, Ken.
Yes.
I like where you're going with this. And I'm glad you brought that song up, because this is where, unlike For You and some of the other songs, he is quite subtle. It says happy with you, but he's really happy with him. It's one of the, it's sort of like We Can Work It Out, where you can invert the lyric and think a little bit about the speaker, what the speaker's saying. It's a very revealing song in terms of what is making him happy, as you said, living right now. Mm-hmm. I found that maybe the most lyrically interesting song on the album, because it does have a bit of a narrative to it, but it's really, he is showing us something that you don't normally see.
Yeah,
right.
Reminded me very much. I know you all saw this, that great episode of Larry King many, many years ago, where Paul was on and he said, I've had to get used to the fact that there are two versions of me, right? There's the one who's very famous, but then there's the real one.
Yeah,
right.
The one that I really am, and it's confusing.
I think this one really, Happy With You gives us a glimpse into the private Paul McCartney. So that was absolutely a standout track for me.
Can I just point out that some of my favorite lyrics are in this particular song, because he points out the things that make him happy. And this is very poetic. Let me just read this. Like, hear a high, clear robin sing, walk a bluebell carpet. Watch the children playing games, catch a moon and drop it. Hear the gentle mantle roll on a frosty morning. See the mighty ocean break like a sailor's warning. I mean, that's really, it's very poetic there.
And it's
so on the one hand, he'll say, I used to get stoned, I used to get wasted. Right. And then as a contrast, there's all these nice lyrics to go with it. So there are moments when lyrically, there's some really brilliant lines here, especially in Confidant.
Nicely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. Womack, let's talk about some of your favorite tracks from the album.
Well, I just stole Kits.
Go ahead.
I'm going to echo what Ken said. That was a real example of craftsmanship. You know, Paul has always been kicked around, right, for not being this kind of wordsmith. And I think we saw, and Ken illustrated it so well. I mean, that's poetry. That's someone doing the hard work of writing lyrics, you know. And if we take nothing away from this record, you know, he's 76. He doesn't have to do this, but he does. Mm-hmm. He takes the time to write what Ken just illustrated for us so very, very carefully, because it's important. You know, I think that's quite lovely. I don't know. You know, I do like I Don't Know a lot. It's really grown on me. And the song I think about is Only Love Remains. Maybe I'm way off. But my brain was going back to Press with that one. You know, a song that's sort of laying bare a feeling. And what a great thing to admit, right, that we don't know. And I keep coming back to that one, and despite repeated warning.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Ken Michaels?
Well, there's plenty of them. I do like the first three songs that we were exposed to, like I said before. And I do like For You. Even though the lyrics are not that strong, I mean, you make me want to go out and steal. I mean, I'm not too crazy about that line, but then it's so damn catchy. And his voice is great on that song. I love the strings, the way they're laid down. They're kind of restrained and just right. And it's just, you know, the gimmickry of that line is the one thing that would hurt it from ever, well, I shouldn't just say that alone, from being a hit, because we probably shouldn't go too much into detail about this, but if you know radio at all, what we used to call top 40 radio, which is now called contemporary hit radio, they're not going to play Paul McCartney. You know, even if it's the catchiest song in the world, they're not going to play it unless he's got Kanye West's name attached to it and Rihanna. Sure. It doesn't matter. I mean, their argument is that their audience, their demographic that they're trying to appeal to, the music that they want to hear is not a 76-year-old guy. It doesn't matter how good the music is. And I've been saying this for years on the radio. Paul McCartney can put out the greatest album of his career, and in order for it to have any legs, it has to attract a young audience, not just the people who grew up with him. And for that to happen, it's got to be played to those people. And unfortunately, the powers that be in radio are not going to play Paul to that kind of audience. He gets airplay on what's called AAA, adult alternative radio. Like Come On To Me is actually a top 10 single there right now in that format. That's the only format really that's embraced him all that much. Although when Kisses on the Bottom came out, he got played on what's called adult standards radio. But as far as radio formats that appeal to young people, he won't get played. So that shouldn't reflect whether or not the song is good or not. If Fu You, the same voice, the same arrangement was done by John Schmo, and he was 25 years old, it could be a hit.
Or John. Know?
Right.
Or John who?
John Legend. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, John Legend. That would be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you brought up the, you know, the younger generation, and although I don't hate Fu You, I do enjoy it. I think just like who cares? I think those lines, "I want to love that's, you know, proud and real, and I want you make me want to steal." I think he's talking to the younger generation because I remember being younger, and falling, you know, for somebody and wanting to go on a date and but not having anything, not having any money, you know, and of course the thought that comes to your mind, well, maybe if I, you know, steal a couple bucks out of my, you know, my dad's wallet, maybe I can, you know, take her out on a date. And, and who cares, you know, he's talking to that younger generation just as much as he's talking to my generation and, you know, in your generation, you know, it's that youth. I mean, and I feel very personal to that song because, you know, not only was I was bullied, but then I also bullied, you know? So, I mean, that song talked to me a lot as well. So
yeah. I agree. That was one of the songs that jumped out at me immediately too. I mean, you just, who can't relate to that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And bullying, of course, is a serious issue, you know, today. That's, you know, cyberbullying and so forth. So, I mean, that was a very timely song, but I think he handled it. I mean, it's a great rocker, but when you know, really listen to the lyrics, again, you know, going back to Somebody Who Cares, I mean, even though, you know, sonically they're very different, but him saying, "I know how you feel," you know, and,
right.
And mm-hmm. I mean, and come on, that chorus. I mean, I was walking around saying, "Who cares what the idiots say?"
But see, but then you say that. You said that, but isn't that a form of bullying as well?
Yeah. You well, know? Okay. That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought of that. I guess I enjoyed that line too much.
Right. But Ken Michael, sorry to interrupt, but go ahead and go back to your.
Yeah, I love "Who Cares" a lot. It's really catchy. Again, so many of these songs, if they were singles in the 70s or 80s when Paul did get airplay on that kind of format of radio, there would have been hits. Anyway, I do love For You a lot. Confidant is a favorite of mine. I just want to, since I mentioned that I like the lyrics of Confidant, I want to read what's possibly my favorite lyric here on the album. And for those that don't know, Confidant is about his guitar. You would think when he's singing it, it might be about a girlfriend or a woman that he was in love with at one time. But the lyrics read, "In your reflected glory, I could dream of shiny far-off lands where serpents turned to bits of string and played like kittens in my hand." That's beautiful. Right there. So when I hear a song like Confident, I think of those acoustic songs kind of like Somebody Who Cares, and maybe even just a little bit like the acoustic feel of maybe Distractions or something like that.
I was thinking the same song. I listened to that. Absolutely. Sorry, I'm A cat is distracting right now.
Okay. Hey, cats rule.
Yeah.
You need to have three cool cats, though, Ken.
Oh. If only we had that.
Yeah, but you better leave my kitten alone, though.
Oh, God.
Let's not do this.
Viewership's dropping, guys, as we speak. Just kidding.
Actually, one of my absolute favorite songs, and I think this is a gem, is Hand in Hand. Mm. It is so exquisite, that song. It's one of those beautiful two and a half minute gentle songs, love songs, that Paul writes with very simple lyrics. And it's just the piano and strings and flutes. And it's a song that could become a wedding song, as far as mm-hmm. I'm concerned. Yes, yeah. He has that older voice. It's almost like the voice he used on many of the songs on Kisses on the Bottom. Mm-hmm. But I love Hand in Hand a lot. I think it's mm-hmm. I think it should be a classic. I love Dominoes. I do love Do It Now a lot. And I love the fact that he used a line that his father used to say, kind of like Put It There was. It's kind of like keeping his father's memory alive in song. And it's just part of the appeal of Paul McCartney's music is that he can write about a very simple thought that we can all relate to and expand on it a little bit. And so Do It Now is what we all go through. You have a feeling that you want to do something that's in your mind right now. Do it now or else, you know, as time goes on, you'll forget to do it. You'll never get back to doing it again. So we've all kind of experienced that kind of thing. A simple idea like that, that we can all relate to. And I love the whole arrangement of that song as well. I do like Caesar Rock. When I think about that song, apart from, like I mentioned before, The Fireman, it has a kind of a Ram quality to it because it's so goofy. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Smile Away in that regard. Yeah. Despite repeated warnings, I have a feeling is going to become a classic in my mind. It's still not one that's sunk in yet because it takes so long to absorb. And I do love the fact that he changes the tempos and he has all these different sections. He's such a master at doing that. But I love the fact that, you know, you can apply the lyrics to our current political situation, or it could just be about what he did say. He's relating it to climate change and also using as a metaphor, you know, a captain of the ship that's about to go down. So it's brilliant that he's able to connect the song on that level. And I love the whole medley of Hunt You Down Naked and Sea Link. Hunt You Down sounds very Ramish to me. The problem I have with that medley is that I like all three songs, and Hunt You Down, I wish had gone on longer, and then it cuts off after 2 minutes. You want to keep going with Hunt You Down. And
I like the 50s styles piano rock of Naked. I think that's what caught my ear on that segment of the song.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And Sea Link is precious because it's Paul playing lead guitar. And he himself said that he thinks of it as a privilege to play lead guitar. It's one of my favorite things I love to see him do when he's in concert, and I wish he'd do more of it. And, you know, apart from a few moments there, like the end, you know, a Golden Slumbers carry that way at the end when they trade the lead guitar parts and maybe a few other moments on stage, he doesn't do as much lead guitar as I would love to hear him do. And so he did say that the full version of Sea Link is 11 minutes long. I would love to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I do love those two other bonus tracks that you get from Target. In particular, you're talking about Ryan Tedder with For You. He also co-wrote this song called Nothing for Free, which, again, if he released this song in the 70s or 80s, it would be a hit. It's very contemporary sounding, although I think for people that don't like the sounds of today, it's got that grainy quality to it that turns some people off that you might hear in rap or hip hop. And but it's so damn catchy, and his voice is really strong throughout the whole thing.
I just got to say that track, I wish that had been on the quotes original. That I loved it. It was, as you said, it was contemporary. It's kind of it's Paul exploring a little bit more of, I hate to say, his weird side, but I mean, you know, being a little riskier, like he was on, you know, Press and Play or McCartney 2. And I would love to know who that sample is saying, okay. Right. I'd love to know. I couldn't find it in the liner notes, but yeah, I love that. That's another track I have on repeat.
Yeah. It's Beckish or Beastie Boys, you know, mm-hmm. in my ears, you know.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, Beck, I had a lot of that.
Yeah. But that definitely would be a hit today if it was another artist singing it, you know, or, you know, if it was Paul's voice, but with a different name.
Right.
You know, so.
Get Started, I think, is an all around good song. I do like the coda at the end. I think it's like the last 53 seconds where it just, you know, stops and then it comes back. I think that was a nice touch. I mean, and that's one of the ones that I wish it was added to the album as well.
And he's screaming.
But I'll settle for
at the end of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that voice again. You know,
right?
1 minute it could be shaky, and then here he is with this ballsy rock and roll voice screaming, and you know, all these different sides of Paul McCartney that you get to hear.
Well, gotcha. Does anybody want to add anything else to Egypt Station?
I think before we close, we started by talking about comparing it to New, which is a very obvious connection since it was the previous album. Are we in consensus then that it certainly transcends that LP?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think New was a great album. I absolutely love that album. And like I said, I like to wait a while before I really give a full opinion and assessment of an album. Right now, this album sounds great to me. But we'll see how I feel in a month from now.
Right.
You know, opinions change all the time. So,
I mean, we can definitely revisit this album in a couple months and see if any of our opinions have changed. I'd love to do that with you guys.
That'd be fun.
Right. So if that's it for, we're going to come to a close on our discussion with Egypt Station.
Okay.
Tool, why don't you you have coming up?
Well, I've got a few things. First of all, Beatles at the Ridge is coming up just this weekend. I'm going to be leaving day after tomorrow after this broadcast. And that's September 14th and 15th, going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing a talk on the White Album there and what makes it significant. I will also on Monday, and in fact, my boss over at the radio station Toby Chicago is watching right now, I'm going to be doing a radio show I've been doing it every month called Bottomless Soul, which is looking at my other passion, R&B and soul. So that will be this coming Monday, September 17th at 10 o'clock. It's part of Toby's Indies and Oldies radio show. I'm going to be doing an Aretha Franklin tribute. No brainer there, right? And finally, I'm going to be at the grand opening of the Blue Village Vinyl record store. I'm very big on supporting local record stores. Like we all know, they're endangered species. So I'm going to be there September 22nd. I'm going to be signing books from 1:30 to 3:30. It's in Westmont, Illinois. So if you're in the area, please stop by.
All right, cool. Kenneth Womack, what do you got?
I'm doing a number of events in support of my new book, Sound Pictures. But the main story in these parts is the upcoming White Album event being held on November 8, 9, 10, and 11 with a lot of special guests, Mark Lewison, Jeff Emmerich, Chris Thomas, The Weaklings, the Queen of All Media, both of you will be, it will be quite an event filled with music and demonstrations of recording techniques and the like, not to mention lots of book signings from the luminaries that I just mentioned. And on September 21st, we're going to open things up for people to book their spaces at all these key events. Our theater holds about 680, and we're expecting a big crowd. So we'll be sure to share that date with you when it comes up.
Cool. We'll make sure we let everybody know. Ken Michaels, before you get to the big big announcement, why don't you tell everybody where they can contact you and
you can reach me. I have an email address, which is named after my radio show, Every Little Thing. It's everylittlething@att.net. I also have a website, which is called kenmichaelsradio.com. And I would urge everybody listening to this show, if they haven't seen my website, to please explore it, because there's so many features on there, interviews with people connected to the Beatles, including Kit or authors or Ken is on there too. We'll have to work on you, Tom. And also there's Beatles trivia every single week. You can win one of 9 prizes, including Kit's book, Songs We Were Singing, which is there every single week. I'm certainly going to try to get Ken's books on there too. And DVDs, CDs, you can win them with Beatles trivia. In fact, this week's Beatles trivia has some connection to Egypt Station. So if you visit my website, kenmichaelsradio.com, go to the Beatles trivia and games page. It's right on there. I also have my radio show, Every Little Thing, which is syndicated right now on 37 stations. You can go on my website, see all the radio stations that carry it in the broadcast times. And this other podcast show called Things We Said Today, which was on hiatus for over a month. Steve Marinucci, who co-founded the show with me, left the show. So I have been looking, along with Alan Cozen, to find a co-host or two for the show. And we managed to find a third co-host. We might possibly have a fourth one come January. Don't know that for sure. But we just recorded a brand new show on Sunday, which should be posted either tomorrow or Thursday. And guess what it's all about? You'll never guess.
I can't imagine.
It's about Egypt Station. So you can actually get to hear me say the exact same thing that I said in this show, in that podcast show.
But we're seeing you say.
Okay. Right. So if you want to listen to Things We Said Today, it's on podbean.com. It's also on iTunes and YouTube, kind of like just what we're going to do with this show. Yep. And maybe Kit, you can tell everybody about that too.
Yeah, I will be uploading this to YouTube probably tomorrow. You can still watch this on our Facebook page. It'll be archived. Please keep the comments going. We will check them. We will respond as we can, because I know there's some other comments today that we didn't get a chance to get to. But you can go to our YouTube channel, I think it's posted on our Facebook page already, but I'll post it again. And so that should be up by tomorrow. And you can comment there as well.
Cool. And, you know, like you, Ken Michaels, David and I, we have our third season coming up. We were on a short hiatus as well, and we are going to be back this week, hopefully by Thursday. And you can check us out on Facebook at our Two Legs page. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com, and we're also on Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. Now, we are
this is live, folks.
Go for it. Go ahead, Kit.
Oh, you got it. I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, anyways, like I said, we are planning on to make this, and we will be back in 2 weeks. You can find us on our Facebook page, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles podcast. We're on Twitter at Talk More Talk 1, and also you can email us at talkmoresolotalk@gmail.com. So, does anybody want to add anything else before we sign off?
Actually, one thing. I mean, yes. We're saying that this is a solo Beatles show, but I also want everyone to know that occasionally we will talk about the group. I mean, there are instances, like, for example, the White Album remaster is coming out. How can we keep silent? So there will be times when we will bring the group into the conversation. So, but most of the time, it will be a solo Beatles show.
Cool. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us, and we hope to see everybody in the future. So for Kit O'Toole, Kenneth Womack, Ken Michaels, I'm Tom Hunyadi saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So long, everybody. Talk, more talk.
What?